know, this is a privilege to actually share this message. Before I came to Jesus, and I'll share a bit of my testimony later, but I was so caught up in what I was experiencing in the moment that I never for once looked up and realized where I was actually headed. And all the stuff that I was experiencing, going through, actually, I had no idea what I was actually headed to. You know, we wake up in the morning, the sun's shining, it's raining, we have a nice breakfast, we jump in our nice cars, we in our homes, there's DSTV, we watch soccer. That's not what hell is one day when we find ourselves in eternity. There's no hope there. There's no rest and no peace. And sometimes we get so caught up in what's happening right now, we're actually blinded to the reality of what's to come if we're not found in Christ. And this is an important message to be shared, because in, I think it's the book of Peter, that says that God is not slow in keeping his promises, but rather he's patient, because he's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Just a stat that, you know, I was looking at during the week, 172, that's an estimation, that's 172,000 people die a day in the world. They estimate between 62 to 63 million people died in 2024. I don't know about you, but that's like a lot of people. And how many of those people are actually in eternity with God, or finding themselves in eternity that has got no hope, no rest, and no peace, that are in agony and anguish and looking back and, oh my gosh, how I missed the mark. Craig mentioned that we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 16, 19 to 31. It tells the story of a rich man who lived in luxury every day of his life, and a poor man named Lazarus, who sat at his gate covered with sores all over his body. And what's interesting, just to bring this, one thing to our attention this morning, is that through the Gospel of Luke, through all the parables that Jesus shared with us and his disciples, he would always go there, them, or he or she. He never referenced a person by name. But in this parable, he referenced this man by his name, Lazarus. So this kind of gives us some kind of indication that this actually wasn't just one of his normal parables, but an actual true life event that took place, that Jesus is now sharing with us, that took place by naming this man Lazarus. So we're going to go into verse 19. It says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his open sores." So big point number one, or point number one this morning, is no hope. Notice the contrast, between the two men here. The rich man constantly lived in luxury every day of his life, and Lazarus was suffering. All Lazarus actually wanted was a few crumbs from the rich man's table. But in reality, all he actually got was the neighborhood dogs coming by and licking his open wounds. He had nothing. He was a beggar with no purpose. Lazarus' friends had no hope. The rich man, on the other hand, lived in luxury, clothed in purple. In those days, purple represented, you know, was a sign of wealth and royalty. He had more than enough. He had all the world's comfort. And because of this position that he found himself in, he ignored Lazarus, who sat or lay at his gate. He had everything he needed until he didn't any longer. If you think at our lifespan, some of us will be lucky to see 90. Well, I hope I live very long, because I just would like to live as long as possible. There's so much to do, and I would love to see Taslin and Casey when they're 60 and 70. Let me just carry on. But our lifespan of 80 to 90 years is like a drop in the ocean to what awaits us in eternity. A life with Jesus or a life outside of him, which is hell. In verse 22, it says, "The time came and the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' While have the tables flipped upside down?" Their experiences are now very, very different. So I know that the rich man mentions fire here, but if you think about it, if you or I had to get burnt, which this is quite severe, the last thing we're going to want to do is get a cup of water or someone just to take some water on their finger and touch our lips. We would get to that emergency place as fast as we can to get the correct treatment for the burns that we have. But it's so interesting that the rich man in this moment of agony feels that the only way that some kind of relief can come is just by a drop of water on his lips. Friends, this is what waits for those who are not yet in Christ. Lazarus, a beggar, had no one to help him, but in death was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man had all the water, the wine, the spirits, and the food he could ever want and dream for. But in death, he doesn't even have a drop of water to cool his parched lips, friends, in the moment that he needs it the most. Just to bring some kind of relief. And I hope we're really starting to get a vivid picture of what awaits us in eternity for those that are outside of Christ. Because this is a serious, real thing. Each, every single human being is made in the image of God. God doesn't want any human being made in his image to perish. He wants all of us to come into the kingdom of light. He doesn't want anyone to perish through the kingdom of darkness. The rich man, now the one with no hope. You know, I'm going to just share a little bit of my testimony that I mentioned earlier. And we can get so wrapped up and so caught up in what's actually going on right now that we just miss actually what is more important. And I spent many years, it's all my own doing. I don't ever feel sorry for myself, but I got wrapped up in drugs and alcohol, which saw me going down a rabbit hole of just coming into anxiety and depression and just experiencing so much of this. I think it was like a 5-year period, a little bit longer. And it got to a place that I was battling so much, I would go to the doctor's rooms twice a week, and I would go in there. But it got to a place where instead of going there, I would phone the medical center and they would put me straight through to this doctor so I could speak to him on the phone. The one day, it was a Wednesday, I'm at work, my anxiety is high, I'm stressing out, I'm worried about stuff. I give this doctor a phone call, and we start talking on the phone, and he says this to me. He says, "Ryan, you got to be okay with dying." And I'm going to leave it there right now. There's no rest. Point number two. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things with Lazarus, whilst Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Not only is this rich man already experiencing that there's no hope in hell, he's quickly learning that there's no rest also where he is right now. Abraham reminds him to think back to how he lived on earth, and from that place of living on earth, he would quickly see through his circumstances the reasoning why he's actually finding himself where he is in Hades, hell. Abraham quickly recalls to the rich man's memory the life he lived in luxury and splendor, and that Lazarus, sick and utterly destitute, lay at his palace gate and was allowed to lie there unattended and unhelped. Think about this rich man. There was no heinous crime he committed. He wasn't a serial killer. He wasn't some serious offender that was out there on the run. He simply and sadly lived in omission and arrogance to the acknowledgement of who God is and to this beggar, Lazarus, that lay at his gates, unattended, unhelped. He got everything he wanted in life, so he was comfortable. And sometimes, friends, we got to learn and understand that our comfortable situation and place that we find ourselves in can sometimes be a silent killer that stopped us from actually realizing and seeing that we actually need a Savior because we're so comfortable. What we forget and don't see is what is to come outside of Christ or being in Christ. In death, he'll spend the rest of eternity trying to understand why he didn't just take time to see the bigger picture. Friends, we've got to lift our eyes a little higher to see the bigger picture with eternity in mind, because our eternal address, do you know where it is? Is it one with our Lord and Savior, or is it one with our other friend? I'm going to call him a friend. He's not really a friend, but the devil himself, the enemy. I was trying to be polite. I can picture him. Sorry, we shouldn't be polite to the enemy. Hey, we need to kick him back. You know, there's, you know, the kingdom of heaven needs to advance, and I said last week, we need to be aggressive in the face of the enemy, and we need to take back what he's trying to steal. And we, as brothers and sisters, can pull people in to this wonderful kingdom. I can picture him pacing back and forth. Can you just picture him back and forth? Because he's had a revelation now just how much he's missed the call of God, what he missed on earth, and now he's in a position. Because after we pass away, there's no going back and changing what's already taken place. Pacing back and forth, looking across the chasm at all the others, including Lazarus, the peace and comfort that they find themselves in, whilst he has to settle for the agony and the separation from God. But again, friends, it doesn't have to end this way. And I just want to read Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, what we've got to understand that in Christ alone is where God is calling us to be. He's saying, to escape hell, to escape that judgment that we will all receive one day, we have to be in Christ. And Jesus is calling us in Matthew 11, calling us in so that we can be found in him as we meet him. You know, carrying on with my story, now I'm at work. I work in Westmead. I'm on the phone. This doctor tells me that I must be okay with dying. I'll be honest, I did not even go to my boss and ask him if I could leave. I picked up my keys. I remember I still drove a little white City Golf. I got in this little City Golf from Westmead. I shot straight down to the medical center. Went in, said, hey, I need to see Dr. So-and-so. Cut a long story short, I'm sitting in front of him, and he says to me, Ryan, two things can happen today. I can be your doctor and tell you what I've been telling you for the last 5 years, or I will push all my appointments back, and I will grab a cup of coffee, and we can speak about Jesus. In my ignorance and arrogance, I wasn't interested about hearing about Jesus. All I wanted to know, friends, is what he knew about me that I didn't know, that I must be okay with dying. Like, was there something that was happening that I needed to know? Because I was actually, in those days, there were actually times where I'd actually cry myself to sleep because I was so afraid of dying, because I just didn't know what was going to happen. And I was like, no, I want to know what's wrong with me. Please tell me what's wrong with me. So he told me what he had been telling me for the last 5 years. And I remember getting up, walking to the door. Like, where do I go from here? I don't know what is going to happen. And as I was about to go out the door, he said to me, can I ask you a question? And I said, yes, you can. And he was, oh, do you have a problem with God? And I said, no. He says, okay, give me 5 minutes. And we sat down in the doctor's room, and he started to speak to me about the grace and love of God, and that I'm going to come into the family of believers, and that there's eternal destination and eternal dress. He mentioned all this stuff, and he just spoke about it. And that day, I changed my eternal dress from one in the darkness to one in the kingdom of the light. And the very thing that I was always trying to run after and change in me, Jesus, along the way, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And as I've come to him over and over, he has changed. But more importantly, because this is what this message is about today, that through Christ and Christ only can our eternal address change. And we've got to know that we have to give our life to Jesus and be found in him. No peace, point number three. I'm going to read the scripture. It says, he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. The rich man is begging Abraham here because now he's in torment. He's experiencing this it's just not a nice place, and none of us want to go there to hell. And he's saying, please send Lazarus back to my brothers to warn them about this place. Abraham's answer is telling, friends, a warning to those who are not going to listen. I'm going to read it again. They have Moses and the prophets. Let your brothers listen to them. In other words, your brothers have Moses and the prophets through the Torah at the time. They can go into the Torah and learn and find out about Hades and hell, about the kingdom of God, about how we should be treating people and where we go when we're with God. Friends, today we have the Word of God, that we're able to go into the Word of God to find out the answer to our eternal address. But if we're not in the Word of God, we're never going to find out. And we could find ourselves going to a place that God never intended you to go. Today, as I stand up here and I share this message, God is going to be speaking to you through me about your eternal address. The question is, are we listening? The rich man, because he knows exactly where he is, he argues with Abraham and says, they will only listen if someone is raised from the dead and goes back and then testifies about this place. He's convinced of it. Send them. But Abraham replies that even if someone is resurrected, friends, they still won't listen. Here is a sobering reality for us today. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Our witnesses of the resurrection, it's recorded in the Word of God. And still today, millions of people deny Christ, do not accept the gospel, or have just never heard it, and have a destiny with hell. That doesn't have to be you and I. Today, you have the wonderful opportunity to change your eternal address. Christ traded his own life for you and I so that we don't have to be found in a place that God never intended for you and I to be in. In John 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world. See, every single human being that's made in the image of God is actually destined for heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believe in him. So from this place of believing, those that were destined for heaven that choose not to believe in Christ do not land up in heaven, of course. So for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In closing, why don't we stand together? Jesus, in Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Jesus is knocking at the doors of people's hearts here today. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to spend all eternity with him. He wants today for your eternal address to change from the dominion of darkness and come into the kingdom of light and be found in his presence of love, grace, peace, joy.